This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
There's something going on maybe on the South Side tonight, and it's history. History!
Well, there is certainly no avoiding that the White Sox are on the brink of making history. And a part of history that nobody wants to be a part of. With 120 losses on the season, the next loss over the next six games will give them the most losses in a single season in modern history.
Yeah, it's not something that anyone wanted to be associated with.
The losingest team in the history of Major League Baseball. A remarkable achievement.
You don't know what this is. The Grim Reaper's visiting with you.
Well, we've seen lack of communication a lot. And there's an example of it, as Moniak is going to be given a base hit.
And that'll sum up your 2024 White Sox right there. For Lopez, his first home run. And that'll make it 2-0. Angels on top here in this eighth inning.
Get him a body bag! Yeah!
The Sox team continues to fight here. Let's go to the studio and check in with Chuck, Ozzy, and Scott.
Sox are trailing, and we're hoping for a comeback. How about it be tonight?
The Sox now something going here in this eighth inning.
Call an ambulance! Call an ambulance! But not for me.
And the Sox now on the board. An RBI pinch hit double for the rookie, Brian Ramos. Popped it up. Lopez drifting back, and he dropped it! The Sox catch a break, and the game is tied. And then Benintendi sends it through the hole.
Use it to the limit.
And the Sox take their first lead of the night. On the ground, it's could do it. And history will have to wait, because the Sox, with a comeback in the eighth inning, they get the 3-2 win and win the opener of this three-game series.
Yeah, fans seem to be conflicted here tonight.
Look, you know, we're not happy either.
And we'll see you.
Can't stop what's coming.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Just get after it. Just go ahead.
Man.
Speak. Just go set it up.
What a convoluted bunch of dynamics at play in that ballpark, huh? Craziness. 17,000 fans.
Dog day.
All wanting the team to lose, and the players are they have to say they understand, but they're frustrated by people going there to see them lose. You got a press box full of people for one of the rare times in the entire season. You draw a big crowd, and that's when you pull your first comeback win of the entire season. It's That is a beautifully efficient baseball frustration machine. Like, they find a way to frustrate you. No matter what you think is going to happen during the course of your night, they find a way to frustrate you.
I got interviewed by Channel 2 News, not even the sports, the news department yesterday before we did the show. Because
of the new show. Because they're very happy about the new show.
Yes, they wanted to promote the new show.
Smart.
But they really did want to talk to us about, you know, the White Sox and the White Sox thing.
Man.
And to see people be like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go. And Dog Day is great. And it was really, I love that they have Dog Day and that you get to see like the players' dogs and the vignettes coming in and out of break and all of that stuff. But yeah, there were strange things happening at 35th and Shields. At one point, you have the chant. You have this sell the team chant that was heard clean.
You got the TV broadcast laying out. and letting that chant come through loud and clear.
From an audio standpoint, that sounds like we created it. Like that, it's so clean, it sounds like Tanny went and had a bunch of people in
down,
the studio.
Down, down,
yes,
down.
Yes, Lakers going down. That's right.
It's amazing.
That is unmistakable what is being said there by Sox fans.
And there's beautiful civil disobedience going on there among the Sox fans who are there to have a good time, enjoy a beautiful night, have a hot dog with grilled onions and mustard that's extremely well done right there on that concourse at any number of spots.
Do you mean you get it well done or that it's well done?
Both.
You're talking to me. I'm with you. I want that a little bit charred.
Darkest dog, darkest onions. And you wait a couple innings, so you make sure they got some of the dark stuff that other people have turned down.
All right, careful. We're starting to drift back into the first show here.
You can't go dark onion speaks, and this is why.
Why?
I don't trust the people running those flat tops to actually caramelize them slow enough to get dark like that. I'm assuming they're going to be burned.
I'll take my chances.
Not caramelized properly.
I would rather have them a little burned than not caramelized at all. And I bet that I will have enough of them that are caramelized by accident.
You know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
So anyway,
I
love the people are going. This is history. This is going to be the emblematic achievement of this horrifically run franchise. It's going to be just the crowning achievement for Jerry Reinsdorf's Vanity Project. And that's why we agreed as a show yesterday that the four of us, if they won last night, were going to go tonight. And I was very excited for the show outing tonight. It's day three of a new show. On day two, we agreed on a show outing. So this morning, I wake up and I realize I better communicate with my wife now. It's a busy week. There's a lot going on. I got a high school open house I got to go to tomorrow.
I'm
leaving town on Saturday to go visit my dad.
Just any high school open house? You just found one?
I just go to whichever one I want.
It's an open house.
It's not about Ruben. It's just about me. It's just about where I want to go. So I'm like, I better communicate. So, I negotiate for clearance from the tower.
From clearance.
To go to the game tonight with my guys, my new guys. And it was a slightly bumpy conversation, but it was.
Let's clear it with the War Department first.
We cleared it. We went through it. And I was ready. And so I texted you guys very excitedly about our plans to go to the game tonight. Lawrence, you're passing just cause, right? You said no just because you don't want to hang out there. Is that right?
No, it's not that I don't want to hang out.
Uh-huh.
Is it? No, it's not because I don't want to hang out.
Okay.
I believe what I said was, I am not going to give the White Sox 4 hours of my night tonight.
Okay, yeah, I shouldn't say what you say. I should let you phrase it. Tanny, why are you not going?
Wait, before you guys answer, yeah. I want to ask a question. And Shane said that, like, this show is a safe space.
It is.
We can talk about things, right?
Yes.
Here's what I was wondering, like, after I sent the text back to the group chat.
Yeah.
Did I let you guys off the hook?
No, I was going to be a no anyway. My reason is very specific. Tanny has a specific reason. I think what Spiegs is saying is you were very general. You were very general. Tanny and I had specific things.
No, like, I didn't. I was malleable. I was willing to go, but I was content not to go. I love not going tonight.
Lawrence is on to the group dynamic 100%.
But Lawrence,
the first one to say no lets everybody else go, oh, thank God. But I fought for this.
Lawrence doesn't understand, Spiegs, what we're coming from. Danny would be very upset if we didn't ask him to hang out. So the fact that we asked and you said no, we're not used to it.
Oh, well, no, I know you're not saying no to us.
You're not saying no
different.
To us.
If you guys were like, hey, let's all go have dinner tonight, I would have been down for that,
it's
like 100%.
I was going to eat a hot dog. That's dinner.
But you have to understand.
That's it.
Speaks.
I was excited. Then Tanny says no, and Shane says no.
Once Lawrence is out, the thing was done. It was canceled.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's supposed to be a four-pack.
Yes.
We've hung out before, the three of us.
I know.
We've done that.
We just did it last week, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we've done that.
At the other ballpark. I know. I was very excited. I cleared it with the tower, and then all of you bailed, and I was left calling the tower back and saying, I'm actually free tonight. And I could hang out, and you guys let me down.
But you look like, well, you look like a hero. You could have just been like, I decided that we're, you know, time with you is better spent. And then you could have done it that way.
You know, you're right. The bottom line is what you're being exposed to is I played it completely wrong. I 100% played it wrong. I should have checked in with you guys first before even broaching it
and
with the
tower.
And then
you could have been like a hero.
Babe, look, there was talk. I just got to let you know. I just want to communicate clearly, honey. There was talk about going to the ball game, but I'm not going to do that. No way. I value our time together.
I didn't even tell my wife straight up. I knew this wasn't going to be a thing. I knew it wasn't going to be a thing.
Kenny, that you're wise. You're younger but wiser. What the hell, man? I broached the topic and then paid the price when all you bastards don't want to hang out. We don't want to build esprit de corps.
Look, I don't mean to speak for two guys that can clearly speak for themselves. But even though Shane literally has something to do today that's important to, like, his life.
It seemed important.
And considering our early off time today, because we've got Cubs baseball, Tanny doesn't get a ton of these.
It's totally
and,
true.
And what he said made a lot of sense.
I know.
For me, it was the whole idea of, like, oh, the White Sox.
That's a huge part of it, too, yes! man. I got to be honest. Yesterday on the show, I said, I don't want to go. I have no intention on going. And then you're like, hey, how about a show outing? I'm like, fine. I guess. Yeah, sure.
But I have to confess something, Speaks.
Because I do want to go. Shane, this is the thing. I do want to go, but I think I needed you guys to help.
To push it?
To push it
there,
over
there
the
edge. There are listeners that are texting in saying that if you want to come hang with them, you can.
All right, good to know.
In the 500 level.
Thank you very much.
That was the other part of this, too. The other part was, how close are we sitting to the action? And Shane,
I would never worry about that.
Shane's got the hookup. I've got the hookup.
But I was worried about you guys getting credentialed in, and then me like not having.
I got a season credit. They'd have to go out of their way.
That's credential for the folks at home. For you idiots at home. That's
people who say season credit don't have street credit. By the way, I just want to put that out there. But here's the thing.
Speaks also says Frisco.
My responsibility.
That's
tonight
what they
is...
do to me when I'm going into the ballpark. They Frisco me. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, Jesus.
They do it poorly over there.
Yeah. Is that how you got your handgun in last time?
That's how exactly how. Hit it in my body.
I'm moving, right? I'm moving apartments, but I have until 10-2 to be out. So I'm literally choosing moving, something everyone hates, over going to watch the baseball game.
How about that?
That's how bad the White Sox experience is right now. Right. I'm choosing to move.
That's right. Yeah, I'm going to invite some other people. They're going to be like, sorry, we have to go pick up our friends at the airport. We'd rather do that.
But let's be clear, Shane, because I want to clear up something that you just said. The White Sox experience is great. White Sox
yes.
baseball,
yeah, clear that up.
Not great.
Weird, convoluted dynamics on display.
And now, all of a sudden, Grady Sizemore is a candidate to be the manager going forward.
Been there a while. Been there a while, comfortable. How about this dynamic? Can I give you one more dynamic?
They're still, like, they didn't get better.
No.
Look, they're still headed towards the record. And so Grady Sizemore, like, you saw what you needed to see?
He's a decent front man and takes some heat off of Chris Getz, I guess is the thought. How about this dynamic? How about Chris Getz getting hired because theoretically he would help them do it faster was the idea? Because he knows everything in the system. And over the course of a year, he slowly convinces Jerry Reinsdorf to do the things that make it even further away. How about that dynamic? He uses the former Navy SEAL consultant, who's now the head of the committee on how they're going to change everything, gets brought in by Reinsdorf because he knows how the sausage is made, and then slowly convinces the boss to make the sausage a different way, which it does need to happen that way, but it's so many weird mind bleeps happening down over there.
What if I told you, though?
What if I told you?
In a world... What if I told you that the changes that Chris Getz is making are necessary, and I'm on board with a couple of the things that he's doing?
Without me too.
But the problem is that...
He's doing it?
That's one of them.
Sorry, go ahead.
The other part is that White Sox fans are sitting here like, wait, we were kind of promised some jetpacks here, and there are no jetpacks. The whole, like you said, that dynamic of you're supposed to be the guy that was hired to change this thing quickly. Not overnight,
yes,
but quickly.
Uh-huh.
And then once you said what you needed to say to get the job, then you looked around and you were like, I don't like our team. And this is going to take a lot longer than anyone would have thought, including Jerry. Them being able to get him on board with that is significant on its own, but this is going to take a long time unless all of a sudden in this offseason, Jerry starts doing stuff that he doesn't ordinarily do. And that means spend, spend, spend.
This texter has invited me to come hang with them in the 500 section that says he's working on his sign for tonight, currently starting with Reinsdorf plays on the Bears offensive line.
Oh.
Keep working, dude. That sucks.
It's a lot.
It's not clever.
I got a better one.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not something that anyone wanted to be associated with.
That's why we're not going.
In quotation marks. So, we're not going to the White Sox game. We'll catch up on what happens.
Jerks.
And maybe, how about this?
What?
Now we can hope that the White Sox actually win tonight so that Spieg's heart isn't broken for not being there for the history. Go White Sox.
Don't worry, Spieg's. We'll go tomorrow.
Oh, who cares?
When we come back.
I got a high school open house, Shane. I can't make it.
He cannot make it. I went back over the All-22 this morning, Speaks.
Yo.
And I have come to some conclusions that I want to run past you. There's some stuff that I saw that I want to get. Yes.
You watch the tape. Kurt Warner approves.
Yeah. I'm not really qualified, but, you know, I watched and there was something that I saw that I liked. I want to talk with you about it. I want to share with you, the afternoon show listener, about this and see if you fall into the same category that I do on this. Spiegel and Holmes talking Bears next on The Score.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Spiegel at home.
First of all, congratulations. You know, it's nice to have a couple new faces at the Score, and not just kidding. So
afternoons on the Score.
The positivity that we see on the actual film, you know, if you actually watch it and, you know, not get into all the emotions of the game, the positivity that we have and the growth that we're, you know, the slow growth that we're having. Yes, we do need to get it going a little bit, you know, more efficiently than we are, you know, but the growth and positivity that we have within the film that we've seen and things like that over these past couple weeks.
That is Caleb Williams earlier today at Hallis Hall. Coming up at 3 o'clock on the Spiegel and Holmes show, Chris Emma will bring us all the pertinent sound from up there, including some more Caleb and Matt Eberflus on the offensive line in flux. But first, Lawrence Holmes has watched the All-22 and has come to some conclusions about our brand new quarterback. What you got?
Well, specifically inside of the Colts game, because I don't want to globalize this and try to, you know, make it a thing, but just from what I witnessed coming into watching the All-22, I was going, man, I really like how Caleb is working the operation of the offense, that he's getting in and out of the huddle. I think there's a little bit of frustration too with them not getting him the plays quickly enough for him to do what he needs to do.
Speaking of the frustration, do you have a thought on what that moment with him and Kerry Joseph, the quarterback coach, on the sideline?
Yeah, he's like, what are we calling?
Yeah.
Where you see him and you're like, well, what are we doing? But when I go back and look at what they were doing, and I was like, let me, this first rewatch, like, I just want to focus on him a little bit. I'm more encouraged than I was Sunday night. And Sunday night, I was encouraged. The yards don't matter a lot to me. Like, when people throw yardage stats out there and be like, well, look at how many yards he threw. Some of that was empty calorie stuff. Some of that was a product of them throwing the ball 52 times.
Yeah, there's 45 yards on the Hail Mary as well.
Right. I walk away from this saying, if the young man could have a clean pocket, he's going to hit 95% of those passes. I think that he's definitely, like, when you go back and look at, like, the college scouting reports and what people in the NFL were saying about Caleb Williams, I see what they're talking about, where it's advanced offensive theory with the quarterback. My conclusion, like, if I were writing a thesis statement, it would be he's trying to make this work. He doesn't have to make work the idea of playing the position of quarterback. I think that he's, I hate to say this about like a rookie, but I think he's got that part of it down, which is insane. In three games in your rookie season, I think he knows how to play NFL quarterback.
That, now that's interesting. You're talking about processing and looking around the field, reading stuff.
I actually think that his processing speed is faster than what his offensive line can accommodate.
Let's let that sit there for a second. We did hear in all the scouting that his processing was fast, and we have come to know through 40 games what Justin's processing was. And maybe that's getting better, good for him.
It's clearly getting better.
Good for him, and that's fine. But we saw 40 games when it was time to make the decision, and paying Justin was in there. So anyway, yada, yada. Here we are. It has looked impressive, even on TV, to see some of that processing. And there's mistakes, too, as he goes across that first interception. Is like a third or maybe a fourth read, and he shouldn't have made it. But he was looking across, making three or four reads, even on that one.
There was another play where the sack, like, he was trying to get a quick out, and it was covered. And he went to the second read, and it was covered. And then he's just like, you know what? I can throw it, but if I throw it, it could go the other way. And he just takes the sack. There's a play early on in the game where they fake the pitch left. Caleb turns back right for the screen on the right side.
Uh-huh.
His execution, I thought, and again, I'm not a quarterback. I'm someone who covered the league for a long time. So please, like, you can watch for yourself and you can see what I'm talking about.
I remember what you're talking about. Is to DJ?
Yeah, so he fakes it left. And then he goes back right. He is on time. They're on time. Like, DJ's on time. The fake was executed, I think, really well. But if you look at it, Wright and Pryor can't get to their blocks. Now, maybe we know better now that part of the reason is because Darnell Wright was out there hurting a little bit on why he couldn't get there. But the fact that Caleb Williams understood where the ball was going and he was getting it there, it lets me know that it isn't necessarily like a function of him not being able to understand what he's seeing. I think that he sees it so well that the mental picture of what the play is going to look like post-snap is in his mind so well that I think that the rest of the guys are the offensive line. I don't want to say the skill position players, but the offensive line, I don't think at this point with this particular configuration is talented enough to do what it is that they want to do. And that's the other thing that I walked away with. We were killing Shane Waldron, and for good reason. The run game stuff, I still have a problem with, but that might also be a function of how bad the offensive line is. Matt Eberflus has had 20 different combinations in 37 games as Bears head coach when it comes to your offensive line. that in itself is problematic. But I'm looking at some of the pass game like concepts, and I go, no, I get it. I get what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they can do it. So to me, this week has got to be about, and it's so weird because ordinarily you're looking at like the offense needs to be slowed down for the quarterback because the quarterback has to catch up to what the offense is doing.
You're talking about now the offensive line speeding up to match the quarterback.
And I think that Shane Waldron now has to take away things that Caleb Williams might be able to do because they can't block it. And that, like, it was both, like, eye-opening and, like, really exciting and then really sad at the same moment. Because you're like, oh, Caleb can do more.
Well,
but he's being a little bit held back by their lack of being able to protect him and to kind of get to where they need to go if they're trying to get plays that are moving outside of the pocket.
That tracks. It's good stuff. And that tracks with what what we've heard from some different people, like even Collinsworth. When Collinsworth is praising what he's seeing from Caleb in terms of the quick game and on the Sunday night and like seeing what the defense is doing before the thing decayed in the second half and he took the bulk of his 36 pressures that he took right there, right? And then Pat Manley said it with us. Pat will be on the show later on today. The next day after that game on this show, Pat said he's already further along than we ever saw Justin get and we ever saw Mitch get. Pat said that after watching game number two, could see this quarterback already be further along at some of that stuff, the quick game stuff, the reads, executing an offense, and just in terms of the basics.
It was really eye-opening. So I'm glad I took Kurt's advice, and I went and watched the tape of it. And I'm sure that people who know better about the game than I do might see it differently. But I ran that theory by a couple of people this morning, and they were like, yeah, that sounds about right with some nuance. Mm-hmm. But it's something to pay attention to going forward. I think that he can do a lot of things with the offense that Shane Waldron wants to run, and I think they have to pair it back, not because of him, but because they can't protect it and they can't run the ball.
To be clear, you had film, right? 16-millimeter film.
I did. I was
that
running
you printed
it back.
Yourself yeah. on a projector, and it went...
Do me a favor and go back and watch that Colts game.
So
I did. I went back and I did all of that
God,
stuff.
God, I don't want to hear that Hungarian voice on this show.
Chris
like
Emma
that.
Is actually here. We are going to talk with him about all of these things.
Good.
And he's going to give us a report. Big news day at Hallis Hall about injuries and whatnot. Chris Emma is going to break it all down for you next. Spiegel and Holmes here with you on The Score.